Stugatz here. I know there's a lot going on right now in the world, and we're all shopping online. I just saw that AT&T started doing two really helpful things for those who want to buy a new phone or device online. They are offering fast, free, no-contact delivery and curbside pickup so that online shopping is as simple and safe as possible. On top of that, they have a flexible return policy so you can shop at ease. You can visit att.com to learn how to shop online from the safety of your own home 24/7. Subject to change, restrictions apply.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
I walk in today, Stugatz, and I imagine this is happening all over America in some form or another. Chris and Tony look a little bit broken, a little bit beaten down. Like, right. They look physically spent after the weekend. Mike does as well. He aged 100 years this weekend, his first Father's Day. He threw out his back and got a coffee mug for Father's Day, and he has gone full old dad. The descent is going to be rapid for him. He's going to come in here wearing New Balance tomorrow. But when I looked at Tony and Chris, I figured, it's just what we're all doing during the pandemic, where we're helping the liquor industry because all of us are drinking a little more than we might otherwise. That's what I thought it was. Okay.
Right. Yep.
But what it was when I started asking questions was a version of, NASCAR. Like, you're going to do this to us again for another week. We're going to have to start the week again. Like, you can't even be subtle about it. It's got to be a noose in the garage. Like, Christ almighty, NASCAR.
They're worn out. I mean, Tony and Chris are worn out.
No, they just know that it's going to be another week of sort of, they feel like, given the news of the weekend, that Bubba Wallace, the lone black race car driver who almost single-handedly got rid of the Confederate flag in his sport, there was a noose found in his garage, and that feels like an inside job because the garages are private. There's a lot of valuable stuff in there, and during a pandemic, everybody's being really careful, and so it feels like this. They are vowing to get to the bottom of this, and I imagine the shame for whoever it is did this is going to be permanent. It's going to be banned from the sport permanent if they catch the person, if they have video of whoever it is did this.
It's obviously an awful and horrible thing. And while understanding where Chris and Tony are coming from, I would say none of this, I don't think, Dan, I hope I'm wrong, but it feels like this and these topics are not going away for quite some time, because you're going to have knuckleheads, Dan, who are doing things like this.
Don't,
we're going to talk about it.
All right, but don't get distracted. It's so easy to talk about this one. Like, just don't get distracted, okay? Because this one's the easiest to talk about. Like, almost any common sense American can say, don't do that. That reminds people when we used to lynch black people. I shouldn't even say used to, given some of the things you have happening in this country right now.
As you mentioned, though, there are layers to this one, because only a handful of people have access to these garages. We probably were going to lead with NASCAR regardless, because the seemingly inside job, even though that might be unfair to say, drowned out the outside job of a Confederate flag flying over with a message saying defund NASCAR. That probably would have led the show.
They undid the goodwill, whatever goodwill it is that they tried to get with the most obvious thing, which is the Confederate flag thing, the easiest thing, which is the Confederate flag thing, whatever it is that they tried to do, because NASCAR's got among the worst reputations, not just in sports, but in this country in terms of race relations. And it's been undone by a single act, because this is going to consume parts of the news stream.
And I found it weird coming off of the ESPYs and what they did and the message that they sent throughout the entire broadcast to go straight in the Sports Center and then find the news of that noose being in Bubba Wallace's garage stall. It was just an interesting juxtaposition.
I have talked to so many black people who are like just confused by what it is that's happening right now, because Roy mentioned the ESPYs, and what I saw of the ESPYs was black. And when you haven't been about something really, and then you're all about it, you're going to get your sincerity questioned, and you're going to off-put everyone with feels like what feels like pandering if you start walking that fine, fine line. Because if you're not at all about something, and then suddenly you're all about it, even if it's done gracefully, right, that's going to bring a whole lot of cynicism. I told the guest bookers here that I want to talk to Jemele Hill, that I want to see if we can get her to. I want to see what her thoughts are on watching the ESPYs last night, or somebody like Michael Smith watching specifically the ESPYs, as you see, you know, a real direct change of course. And I understand anyone who's cynical about it, and I understand anyone who doesn't buy any of this corporate stuff from anyone thinking, oh, you're just worried about tomorrow's customers because young people have now gotten in on this.
I guess to be accused of towing the company line, you're saying rather flippantly that they haven't been at all about it when they've led that very same award show with this message with four of the most famous basketball players there is.
It changed around here with Caitlyn Jenner. It changed, like... That's where it changed, when the ESPYs did salute somebody and then all of a sudden saluted Bruce Jenner, one of the most amazing stories of your lifetime, where one of the great Olympic athletes ends up becoming a woman. And so many people were confused, bothered, hateful, ignorant, that ESPN lost people with that. And then there was a shift to not losing those people, and a shift that was obvious to everyone. A shift that fell on my neck in a way that was very public. It was a very public shift from that to let's keep all of this stuff that resembles gender politics, race politics, politics. Let's keep it out of the playpen. And now it's flooded the playpen.
Right. But not just here. I mean, and I'm not towing any sort of company line. I think Mike was alluding to... Were you alluding to LeBron?
Well, I think
James,
it's unfair
Chris
to say
Paul,
we right. said flippantly that we haven't at all been about
I'm,
this.
Well, wait a minute. I'm just talking about this corporate man. You can't argue with the idea. Never mind here. Just all corporations. What you see happening with a consumer and customer shift. I'm talking about everybody. We're not innocent, is what I'm saying. This isn't to say that ESPN hasn't tried. ESPN has tried. And then the Caitlyn Jenner thing happened and ESPN failed. And we've tried to do some of this stuff when the athletes forced us to do some of this stuff, but we're always following the athletes around here. They have to show the strength, and then we will follow them. And now America is under, it's upside down in right. terms of this stuff. And I don't blame black people for being confused. Like, you can be cynical, you can be skeptical, but I don't blame them specifically for being confused about the just general total shift. We're going to donate $250 million to sure. Black Lives Matter. Yeah. We're going to donate $400 million to Black Lives Matter. And it's good. That's a good thing. It's a start. It's not reparations, but it's certainly a start. But why wouldn't you question the motives when it's blowing with the wind and it's dictated by consumer interests and customer interests instead of racial interest? Because I don't actually believe that most of these corporations suddenly had a light go off in the boardroom where they were like, you know what? Yeah, I understand now. 400 years of your screaming, I couldn't hear it, but now I understand.
You question the motives, and I guess you question the sincerity where, you know, the NFL, the Washington Redskins decided to retire Bobby Mitchell's number. It's the second number in franchise history that's been retired. The other is Sammy Baugh. He's the first black player to ever play for Washington, and they said they've been working on this for quite some time.
But this is what I'm telling you. Like, many of you are only going to hear, and I didn't even see most of the ESPYs. Just what I saw made me uncomfortable, because it's a fine line between sincerity and pandering on this issue, given how much the wind has changed the general course of where everyone's going. How can you not be confused about this if you are a distrustful black person? Never mind just here. Just make it all corporate America. It's like the guy at the end of the street who you know might be in bed with the Klan inviting you to the barbecue. It's like, what the hell's going on here? I'm talking about all the corporate stuff you see happening here where you've just got a total shift. Black people are to do what with that? It could feel like progress. It could feel like a moment. It could feel like they're being listened to. But why wouldn't they be confused? Like, I'm telling you, I'm talking to smart black people who are looking around and just like being like, what is this? Like, what the hell is happening here?
Black people are confused. White people are confused too. Look at Drew Brees. That was a position he maintained for 4 years, and then there was such a tonal shift that automatically it became a very losing position.
Right away, within, like, he had no idea. That happened to him on a financial news network where he discovered in real time, wait a minute, the opinion that I've had for 4 years is something I now have to apologize profusely for.
It was such a canned answer. That's been his answer the entire time. He didn't even give it thought because it was always okay for him to have that opinion.
Wouldn't you mistrust it, Stugatz, if you saw it happening? Like, you could be hopeful. You could hope that it's progress, but wouldn't you distrust it when it's turning on a dime like this?
Of course I would, but it is progress and you want to see it continue. So for now, it's okay to be confused. It's okay to question the sincerity, but for now, this is the biggest impact in my lifetime that this, you know, the protesting has had.
Agreed. But what happens is progress is all of a sudden, after years of complaints, NASCAR gets rid of the Confederate flag. And then what happens? There's a noose in the only black dude's garage. Like, yeah, it's progress. But step forward, step back. Step forward, step back. And frankly, honestly, I prefer to see it that overtly than to have it hidden. As it's been for so damn long. In policy and in all sorts of crap. I prefer to see it like that. It's more honest. It's more transparent. Show it to me like that. Okay, fine. A noose in the garage. Show me yourself clearly. Don't put on a hood. Show me what you look like.
What happened in Alabama around Talladega Super Speedway was super overt, and that's without fans there. We had two high-profile incidents without a packed house. Can you imagine what it would have been like if all those fans went in there with all of their opinions?
Guest on the Dan Le Batard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Ariel Helwani will join us in just a minute there. Pennzoil synthetic motor oils are made from natural gas. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil, based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W-30. Here's your SportsCenter update. A noose was found in the garage stall of Bubba Wallace at Talladega Super Speedway yesterday, less than 2 weeks after Wallace, who is NASCAR's only black driver, successfully pushed to ban the Confederate flag at NASCAR tracks and facilities. Sunday's race, which still had supporters of the Confederate flag prominently displaying the symbol off property yesterday, has been pushed back to 3 p.m. today due to inclement weather and is the first race to open to the public. A banner plane flew above the track, towing a banner of the flag that read Defund NASCAR. And finally, a 19-year-old resident of Sierra Madre, California, was napping in a chair in her backyard Monday evening when a black bear suddenly attacked her, scratching at her arms and legs and biting her. That's when the unidentified teen grabbed her laptop and smacked the bear with it and ran inside. Really? Soccer is back on ESPN Plus. Serie A, FA Cup, MLS, and more. Plus, get original series, exclusive studio shows, and the complete 30 for 30 library. Stream soccer from the best leagues and tournaments around the world, all in HD, all on your favorite devices. The beautiful game lives on ESPN Plus. Sign up today at ESPNplus.com or in the ESPN app. For all the latest headlines and information, tune into SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
A lot of stuff to talk to Ariel about. His MMA show, you can get it wherever you get your podcasts, Ariel Helwani's MMA show. Also, you've got Ariel and the Bad Guy. You could get that as well. And the DC and Helwani podcast, because he's mass producing a bunch of UFC stuff. So let's start with the thing that made a lot of people queasy over the weekend, Ariel, and thank you for joining us. So Max Roshkoff is on his stool, and he's telling his corner nine times to end the fight, and they never do, as far as I could tell. I think the ref stopped it when he got off the stool and said, I don't want to fight. So what did you make of everything that happened there?
Well, first off, Dan, thank you for having me on the show. I just want to let you know that I'm on because I respect you, not because of that turncoat Mike Ryan who stabbed me in the back. In any event, Yeah, it was. I mean, I don't want to get into it. I'm a little upset still about the situation.
Well, what happened? For the people who don't know,
I mean, he stabbed me in the back. I mean, what more could be said? He stabbed me in the back. He was a biased moderator, and then he went and dilly dallied with that other snake, David Sampson, and they both stabbed me in the back. They had their little powwow session, calling me an embarrassment. Listen, don't think I didn't hear all of that, guys. And I just want to let you know. Let me just address this right off the top, if I can. That wasn't that little local hour thing between me and David Sampson. That wasn't for you, Dan. That wasn't for you, Stugatz. That wasn't for you, Mike Ryan. That wasn't for you, Billy and Chris and all the crew over there. That wasn't for your audience. That wasn't for that rinky-dink Reddit group chat thing that you guys have. That was for the city of Montreal. It's okay, and it makes sense to me that none of you understood what was going on or thought that it was a little weird, because that wasn't for you. That was for us. That was for the voice of the voiceless. That was for the people that haven't had the opportunity to say what they really wanted to say. And if I would have heard from those people a day or so later, and they would have said to me, you know what, you had the opportunity to tell someone that we despise how we truly feel, and you blew it, you dropped the ball, you weren't able to fully, you know, and capture how we feel about this man, I would have felt horrible. I would have been demoralized. I would have felt like I let down my entire city. But what did I get? I got praise from Quebec all the way to British Columbia. People are talking about building me a statue in Quebec. They're saying that they want to build a statue in my honor because of what I did. So it wasn't for any of you, and I understand why you all think that it was a bit weird. It was for my people, my city, my fellow Montreal Expos fans.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Well, here's the thing. I need to explain, because now we're 4 minutes into this interview, and you're talking about something that most people don't have any idea about, which is during the local hour, you and David Sampson, the former Marlins team president and the former executive for the Montreal Expos, had a brawl for the better part of 2 hours where you guys were just hammering each other, and it was unpleasant, the back and forth. It was uncomfortable. Well, and Mike Ryan sided.
My adult life. What was unpleasant about it?
It was just uncomfortable to listen to because.
What did you expect when you invited someone who's a diehard fan of a team? Did you expect that we would be exchanging pleasantries? Like, come on, let's not pretend that we didn't know that this was going to happen. What did you expect? Did you not think I would bring the passion? Did you not think I'd bring the facts? Did you not think that I would come with heat and fire?
This is Mike. I am not a fellow snake here. I am on your side.
That's why I'm on the show.
I lubricated everything to make that happen.
Exception to you just flatly agreeing with him calling me a snake.
All right, Ariel, hold on.
I reclaim my time.
Your knife is right over here. I still have it, in case you want it, the one you stabbed me in the back with.
I still have no idea what it is you guys are talking about.
Okay, stay there, Ariel, because I've got questions for you, but we've used up all the time here not asking them. So just stay there, and we'll get back to you in a second.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. We love sports. Sports inspire us. They give us hope in ourselves, in the world, and, of course, in amazing comebacks. Our love for sports grows each day. Dear Sports is our love letter to sports. Share your Dear Sports letter with us. Call 860-506-6161 or share a video or text using the hashtag Dear Sports on Twitter or Instagram. Ariel Helwani continues with us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Lot.
So, asking out of a fight while in it 9 times, what is the corner's responsibility there, Ariel?
Well, you know, it's a really tricky thing, because in our sport there seems to be this stigma attached to someone who wants out of a fight, right? And I think that MMA is one of, if not the most dangerous sport that any athlete can partake in, and I don't agree with that stigma. I feel like if you say it once or twice, you should be out of the fight. But for some reason, coaches don't want to throw in the towel. Fighters are lambasted afterwards. They're called cowards and quitters and all this stuff. You don't see this culture in boxing anymore. You just saw a couple months ago, Fury Wilder ended with a cornerman throwing in the towel. And so I feel like when the fight starts, it should be the corner who runs the show, so to speak, right? Like we saw in a situation last month where Anthony Smith was getting beat up and we all criticized his corner. He said, why didn't you throw in the towel? Why didn't you stop the fight? And he told us afterwards that he has an agreement with his coach that if he ever throws in the towel, he will fire him. So the guy's hands are tied. I get that. In this case, a fighter is telling you multiple times, nine times I counted, he said, call it. And the coach is just saying, come on, man, you're a champion, you're a warrior, this and that. To me, in any walk of life, regardless of if it's fighting, basketball, walking on the street, if you say something to someone nine times, you should listen to what that person is saying. And so that's why I feel like his coach hung him out to dry and dropped the ball in this case.
What if it was three times? Like, what's the number, Ariel, where you're comfortable with the trainer saying, hey, you can go back in, I believe in you, and the fighter actually goes back in?
So we've seen situations where a fighter's like, man, I don't know if I got it. Yes, you do. Come on, let's do X, Y, and Z. Give me a minute, give me 2 minutes, something like that. Let's see if we could turn the tide around here. But we don't see very often someone very clearly saying, I'm done, right? So if a guy says, I'm done, call it, I'm done. Are you serious? Yes, call it, man, I'm done. Come on, really? I'm done. All right. I mean, by that point, two, three times should be enough, in my opinion. And the other thing that kind of rubbed me the wrong way was, if you look at the clip, even in the midst of it, it's not like his coach, who, by the way, Robert Drysdale is a very well-respected person in the combat sports community, multiple-time Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu champion, former UFC fighter. He's not some schmo. Like, he's a guy who deserves to be coaching fighters and has a great, you know, pedigree behind him. It's not like he said, all right, let's do this, let's do that, let's do, give me some of this. He was just like, come on, you're a champ, let's go, you can do this, you can do this. And I just felt like at that point, if the guy is telling you that he wants out and all you're trying to offer him is some rah-rah speech, it's just not going to work out. And this is a guy, Max Roshkoff, who's a big-time prospect, 5-0 going into this fight, 25 years young, took the fight on 5 days' notice. He was losing the fight unanimously. All three judges had it 20-17 going into the third, which means they scored the first round 10-9, all three judges. Then the second round, they scored a 10-8, all three judges, meaning it was a very one-sided round. He was not going to win that fight. And what's the alternative, right? Either he's labeled a quitter or an embarrassment, whatever, which I think is completely false and not fair, or he goes out there completely exhausted, his hands are down, he gets brutally knocked out, which could very well have happened. So luckily, the inspector saw what was happening, called over the referee and the doctor, and they called off the fight.
You do a podcast with Daniel Cormier, who, while his fighting style is excellent and successful, people don't find it sometimes aesthetically pleasing. What do you make of Curtis Blaydes and the Dana White criticism of you can't talk that much bleep during the week and then go out there and fight that style? It was a winning style, but, you know, Dana's always advocating for entertainment. It's not his face. It's not his skull.
Yes, and by the way, Daniel Cormier, who sided with Dana White, and I sided with you. I just hope you saw that clip where I said I was Team Le Batard, DC, and Chael, my two partners. Could you imagine both siding with the corporation? I had no problem with what Curtis did. Big fight for him, important fight for him, and I think what Dana was referring to was this tweet that Curtis put out on June 18th, just a couple days before the fight. FYI, if y'all were hoping to see a 25-minute stand-up war, you probably shouldn't tune into the main event because I fully intend on ragdolling my opponent. Just figured I'd let y'all know ahead of time. So, to me, I detect no lies. He actually told us what he was going to do. Now, I think the UFC wouldn't like that because you're telling everyone, hey, we're not going to see a stand-up battle. You're not going to see a back-and-forth, quote-unquote, war. But to me, this is MMA. And I find beauty in grappling. I find beauty in what someone like Curtis Blaydes was able to do just as much as I find beauty in what Zhang Weili and Yuanyan Jacek did in March, which was primarily a stand-up war that they had back in Las Vegas. So this is a sport where you are allowed to use all facets of martial arts. He did what he had to do to win the fight. He's on a 4-fight winning streak now. He's close to fighting for a belt or at least a number one contender spot. I had no problem whatsoever with that fight. I thought Curtis Blaydes had a perfect game plan.
Dana White, who wins? How long will it take Dana to annihilate Dan?
Well, if I'm picking with my heart here, I will say Dan Le Batard's got this. People don't realize the power. People don't realize the aggression. People don't realize what's inside of a son of a Cuban immigrant, a man who has had to overcome so much, who has had to see his father work for everything. That is instilled in you. That is put in your brain. That is put in your DNA from a very young age. So when the going gets tough, going into that third or fourth or whatever final round it is, Dan will call upon those memories, those lessons, those experiences that his father instilled in him, and he will seize the day. He will overcome. Dan, you don't need any of these guys in your corner. You don't need their support. You need Helwani.
I've got the streets of Miami. I've got the streets of Miami. I've got, but if you were doing it with your head and not your heart, you would select Dana White.
No, absolutely not. And by the way, don't put Mike Ryan in your corner as well, because he'll just stab you in the back in the middle of the fight and go join the other team.
We've established that.
All right. Thank you, Ariel. We appreciate it. Again, check out all the stuff he's doing, because nobody covers MMA.
10-7 Helwani. 10-7 Helwani. That was the score.
No one covers MMA as well as this guy. MMA show, the Ariel Helwani's MMA show, wherever it is you get your podcasts. Also, Ariel and the Bad Guy and DC and Helwani podcast. Thank you, sir. A lot to talk about with him. We didn't even get into fighter pay. How did we not get into fighter pay?
Hello, this is your apartment. I need some favors from you. Your cat keeps rubbing against the kitchen island, and I can't return the favor. Can you give her extra pets for me? After that, could you bundle your renters and car insurance with Geico? We could save money, and it's easy to do online. And one last thing. Could you leave the TV on during the day? I need to catch up on my soaps.
Geico. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
Here's your SportsCenter update. The Major League Baseball Players Association has delayed their vote on the league's 60-game proposal due to Commissioner Rob Manfred making tweaks to the offer. Manfred offered cancel expanded playoffs and the universal designated hitter for 2021 if a full season isn't played in 2020. Dak Prescott plans to sign his $31.4 million exclusive franchise tender from the Cowboys by today. And finally, more than 25,000 have signed a change.org petition to change the name of Columbus to Flavortown in honor of Native celebrity chef Guy Fieri. For all the latest headlines and information, tune in to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
So there has been an update after a week-long raging war about whether it is acceptable or not to pee in the shower, and 80% of our people saying that they do pee in the shower. A Ryan Seward writes in, according to some research, if you pee in the shower every day for a year, you will save roughly 1,000 gallons of water. That is 209 billion gallons a year saved if every adult American would just join the rest of us and pee in the shower. I did not have this being an environmental issue, but it's true. You're going to be wasting all sorts of water every time you flush the toilet.
And saving all kinds of money, right? I mean, apparently, right?
I don't believe that there's a whole lot of money being saved on the toilet flushing. I don't believe... Maybe I'm wrong. I don't think this is a big sum of money. I don't know what your water bill is, but I don't think mine is as high as it is simply because of the toilet flushing. So
you're probably right.
Do you know what your water bill is? Like, do you know what your water bill situation is? Because
I know I feel like every single month I'm paying way too much for water. That's what I know. I mean,
you pay every single month? Because my bill comes in like every 3 months.
Yeah, I pay every month.
I mean, okay. I don't think you guys handle your bills when it comes to the water.
Well, I'm not even pretending I do.
Yeah, I know.
I wasn't even, but I think he is. I'm not, I do not dare.
There was a bit of a red flag there, but I don't know how they get down in Jacksonville where you commute from.
All I can tell you is what my water bill was, you know, 25 years ago in Pembroke Pines when I used to go to the mailbox, but I haven't checked my own mail in a quarter of a century.
Like, really?
Yeah. I mean,
who handles getting the mail? Because I think you still own several properties that maybe you don't manage. Are there just stacks of mail overflowing?
No, there are no stacks of mail.
There probably is somewhere, but you don't like a nice stroll out to the mailbox. It's so exciting. It gives you something to do, especially during a pandemic and during quarantine. Like, going to the mailbox is like vacation.
Vacation? Yeah. No. It is a nightmare. What am I going to do with all these boxes? I have to break all these boxes down. My garbage is overflowing because during a pandemic, I am so uncomfortable with the amount of waste the Ruiz family generates. Juliet included, because baby poop was not something I saw being a mountain of problem.
Does she poop like a lumberjack? Are you startled every time she poops that that much comes out of a baby?
I mean, I'm startled. I'm equal parts startled and just, you know, happy that she's apparently very healthy.
That is a sign of health?
I mean, her poops are looking pretty healthy.
Okay. Thank you for sharing that.
I mean, it's Father's Day.
With us, right. Yes.
I thought I should provide an update.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Lebatard Show. Should you go to Cruisin' Chubby's Gentleman's Club in Wisconsin during a pandemic? The reason I ask that question is because there has been an unsurprising outbreak of the coronavirus at Cruisin' Chubby's Gentleman's Club in Wisconsin. And it just sounded really sad to me, all of those words together. This has been a sad month. It's been a sad month, okay? Yeah. But I don't know if I've been as sad as I was imagining people marching into Cruisin' Chubby's Gentleman's Club in Wisconsin, where they are promptly met with the coronavirus.
Low point for you?
I mean, it was pretty bad. Yeah. Now, speaking of the coronavirus, is anyone concerned that we get more positive tests in an ACC weight room around here than they get everywhere overseas? Like when the Dallas Cowboys have already been hit by this. Like, is anyone else concerned that we seem to, that America seems to be Cruisin' Chubby's Gentleman's Club in Wisconsin? Everywhere you go, you're going to run into disease.
You might have missed this. Over the weekend on Friday, news broke that Clemson alone, the athletic department alone, had 28 positive cases and somewhere in the neighborhood of 23 being just the football team positive coronavirus cases. Now, wherever you stand on, there's data to support whether or not the virus is indeed weakening and it's mutated into a weaker strain. Let's just view this through the prism of being sports fans. Regardless of the severity, a positive test means whoever is playing for your team can no longer play for your team until they receive a negative test and adhere to all the requirements of said league's protocol. So, in that event, we should be deeply troubled by the amount of positive tests just from a sporting perspective, because it doesn't matter if Giannis has the sniffles or if Giannis is asymptomatic. Giannis tests positive, and if you've seen the numbers out of Orange County, they're concerning. Giannis is out for 2 weeks, and so are the Bucks.
Yeah. Orange County does not seem like an appropriate place to be hosting an NBA playoff right now, right? Like, players are concerned about that, and they should be. And the numbers continue to spike there, record highs on a daily basis.
What I am saying is true. This is not a joke. The Clemson football team is responsible over 1 week for more positive tests than you've seen in all of Europeans' top-flight soccer leagues.
Look, man, we've handled this stuff very poorly. I think everyone knows that it's been handled very poorly, and there's been a surge here recently to, you know, we're built on the dollar, man, and America is afraid. What you feel shaking at the core of America right now is if we don't have the dollar, then what the hell do we have? We've got nothing but chaos. Like, and so there's been a push to get the dollar back, to fix the economy, no matter what, even if there's the cost of, hey, the nursing home people are going to die. Like, that's been something that's happening. Florida embarrasses me with this incredible push where they're welcoming all dollars here. And now you sort of, when you open the gates like that, Stugatz, right, and this is a unbelievably Herculean task that the NBA has, and that the NBA is partnering with ESPN on, and Disney World. If Disney World is not uniquely equipped to keep this out, then what the hell is? And it's really difficult to get the logistics of this down, even with ESPN's help as your corporate partner, and even with we run the world's most manicured playground every day. Our world famous money-making playground, the Disney Park, is uniquely qualified for this. And this is still an unholy mess of a task.
It got tennis. It got golf. Player tested positive on the PGA Tour.
It got the NHL. Yes. It got the Phillies.
Yes.
I mean, that sport's fighting about whether or not they should return, and the Phillies are closing a team facility. The Lightning had a bit of an outbreak as well. This is deeply concerning because, look, the argument for the return of sports is simply a financial one in this country. Because based on merit, when you compare it to what the other countries have done to get back, we are failing.
I mean, it's all it is, though. You just need to understand and see this part clearly. Like, the only reason any of this is going on is because everybody wants their money. Otherwise, the smart thing is just bail on these seasons for a while. Like, everybody get inside so we can get this thing done with already, as opposed to what we're doing now, which is we're inviting it back. We're inviting this thing back.
Honestly, the NHL is working with Canada, and it looks as though they have the all clear to have a Canadian city be a hub city. We should genuinely look at exporting these leagues to other countries, because it's not the testing. They're doing massive amounts of testing for these leagues to get back and adhere to the standards that those countries require. This is a tremendous problem, especially in Florida.
We are going to have Marty Smith at 11:30 Eastern, and we've got Jamel Hill at noon Eastern. We're going to talk more about peeing in the shower next.
Here's your SportsCenter update. The Major League Baseball Players Association has delayed their vote on the league's 60-game proposal due to Commissioner Rob Manfred making tweaks to the offer. Manfred offered cancel expanded playoffs and the universal designated hitter for 2021 if a full season isn't played in 2020. Jesus. The only thing more boring than their game is their negotiations. Let's go already. Dak Prescott plans to sign his $31.4 million exclusive franchise tender from the Cowboys by today. $31.5 million. Pretty good.
I mean, he wants more than that per year.
He'll get more. I mean, it's crazy. And finally, an estimated 31 million Americans skip breakfast every day. I'm one of them. For all the latest headlines and information,
you also skip the cane.
I really do. I was waiting for it, Michael. For all the latest headlines and information, tune in the Sports Center on ESPN Radio all throughout the day. I hate it.
Dirtboy 326 is letting me have it. Really, oh, Levitard? Really? One complete bleep hole puts a noose in Bubba's area, and all of NASCAR is rotten and racist? I did not say that. I don't know where you heard that or how you heard that. NASCAR's history.
Perhaps the first segment where you just called it NASCAR as opposed to an individual, potentially.
NASCAR?
Oh. Yeah, like I can understand this person's point. They're obviously heated.
Let's bring in Marty Smith, because you put a noose in someone's garage after the week that we've had and the month we've had in America. You basically deserve every criticism that comes your way when you have the most horrific act that we are witnessing from among these sports teams, the most racist of acts.
But in the absence of all the facts right now, I think Mike's point is we can't just put it on NASCAR.
Fair enough. And I wasn't putting it on NASCAR. NASCAR is a good wordplay, though, given the controversy.
No, it's an awful one. And let's just
put it on the poll at Levitard Show. NASCAR, terrible wordplay or good wordplay?
This has been the longest show of my life.
It's half over and you're already spent. You've been a mess today. So Marty Smith is with us now and he's bothered and he's hurt. And thank you for joining us, Marty. What is fair and what's not fair about what NASCAR is getting today?
First of all, I love you guys. I don't agree at all that you can blanket the sport. One thing that's a little disappointing for me in all of this and what we're all witnessing and seeing is how we, I guess it must be human nature, tend to blanket things. And NASCAR's not all racist, man. And the sport has made a lot of strides to be better and be more inclusive and be more in tune and progressive with racial equality. We've seen that. And that's one reason this is so bad. Such a just despicable act. Because any progress that the sport made in the minds and thought processes of anyone who had any question about the sport, if somebody was like, well, they're trying, they did their moment of silence, They need the Confederate flag. Unfortunately,
not. Hold on, Marty, you're in a field and you're going in and out. I don't know what you can do with your phone to help us out there, but your phone connection is something that is going to be distracting for 10 minutes. He sounds hurt, doesn't he, Stugat?
That's because he is hurt. I think he saw some progress, and I wanted to ask Marty. He didn't think this was all going to change that quickly. There were going to be ridiculous, stupid acts here along the way by people who are so used to having it their way for so long. I'm not saying I expected this, but I expected something.
Well, and it's just getting started. They've got the race today. That's where he is. He's in a field somewhere outside of Talladega.
But I know, but even the most optimistic of us, and Marty is certainly one of those people, is very optimistic. There's no way that anyone could have expected erasing 100 years of NASCAR in 2 weeks. I didn't think that was an expectation people had.
NASCAR has it. The baggage that NASCAR has, Marty, has been earned. It's deserved.
Okay, is my signal better?
Yes, much better. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, I'm sorry about that, guys. I want to finish what I was saying first before we get to the earned or whatnot. That's the problem here, is that anyone who wanted to say "I told you so" now has all the ammunition they need. This sport hasn't made those strides. This sport said it had, but now look. And that's why my hope and my prayer is that it's a third-party individual who did this. It's not someone who has an annual credential. It's not a crew member, or it's not an official, or it's not someone that's directly involved in the sport. Now, moving forward to what they've earned or not earned, all I can tell you is this. Have there been Confederate flags at the racetrack during my career? Yes. But there's been Confederate flags in Talladega and in Sonoma, California, and in Loudoun, New Hampshire, and all these other places. So don't blanket it in the South. Don't do that crap, because that ain't right. And I want to make sure that people understand how hard the sport has tried. They're trying. And here's the facts. This is to me the truth. This is my opinion, but this is the truth. In the past, maybe NASCAR tries to just kind of put this under the rug, kind of say, okay, let's handle this internally, because Bubba never saw it. Bubba Wallace never saw the noose. One of his crew guys saw it, reported it, and went to the NASCAR executive level. Their senior executive staff had a meeting and said, we're going to announce this. And we're going to announce that whomever did this, we're going to find you, we're going to remove you. In the past, can I unequivocally say they would have done the same thing, knocking on? So I think that is progress. But it's just so sad to me. And I hate it for Bubba. It's disgusting that he has to deal with this type of thing. And I will say that Richard Petty, who has not been to the racetrack since COVID because he's 82 years old, is coming today. He's getting on an airplane, and he's coming down here, and he's going to stand in solidarity beside Darrell. And he's doing that because I'm told that Petty's statement was this to his team: the most important thing for me right now is hugging my driver. Of course, Bubba drives Richard Petty's number 43 car. And I think that his peers today are going to do the same thing. So this is awful. It's deplorable. It's disgusting. Whatever word you want to choose. But I think that the sport is committed. Can it erase 72 years of this and that? No. We can't erase history. History's history. But we can try. And I'm so glad that the sport is trying, despite what we saw yesterday, which just infuriates me.
What do you do with this from Bomani Jones? He writes on Twitter, I hope NASCAR, the entity, knows the fight it's in, because NASCAR is trying to say we aren't a racist sport, and a bunch of racists are saying, says who? They coddled those entitled clowns for too long. It's going to take a real fight to get rid of them.
Well, I think it is going to take a fight. I mean, I don't think this is a decision that you try to facilitate and it just is easy. No, I mean, I don't think that's an easy decision at all. It wasn't an easy decision to make it. It took a race car driver of color to be so adamant and put so much on his shoulders to stand up and say, this is enough. And then on top of that, it took uber well-respected white drivers to say, I stand with you. I don't stand behind you. I stand beside you. That's guys like Jimmy Johnson, guys like Kevin Harvick, the Bush brothers, et cetera. First ballot Hall of Famers in this sport. So is it going to be easy? No. Somebody had a noose in his garage area. Like, I can't believe this. I can't believe this. And whoever it is, whether they were trying to make a statement, whether they were trying to be funny, whatever the hell they were doing, they ought to be ashamed. And with all the cameras in that garage, I know NASCAR's working right now. They're watching these surveillance videos. They're interviewing people, trying their best to figure out who this is. And I hope they can do it swiftly. And I so hope that it's a third-party individual that's not a core person in that garage.
Have you heard any good theories on this, or is everything irresponsible? Like, no. It's hard to do the reporting when you're outside, right, Marty?
It's hard to do the reporting if I'm standing in the garage, much less outside. But I have been in contact with a lot of people this morning who have told me that they're just not going to tolerate it, man. They're not going to take it. And, like, I really appreciate Bomani. He has sent me the nicest notes throughout this entire thing, which has been very difficult to make sure that you're relaying the correct information passionately and honestly. And it's going to be a difficult fight. I mean, there was a group riding up and down the highway in front of the racetrack this week, flying their flags. And then we saw the guy who got in the crop duster and flew over the racetrack yesterday with the banner. And so it's not going to be a simple fix. But the track told me yesterday that everybody that they saw who came through the gates as a paying customer adhered to what NASCAR's asking of them. Now, that's a very small sample size, guys. There were 5,000 people invited yesterday. I don't even know if 5,000 came. It was a very hot day where you're forced to wear a mask and social distance and all that stuff for COVID. But what they told me is the people that they saw, they weren't wearing the Confederate flag. They weren't flying it. So I was really filled up by that. And then you get in bed last night, and your phone starts going berserk because someone has done this. It gives so much ammunition to people who don't want to believe that the effort for progress. There's a lot of good people in this garage, and it's so frustrating to me that we can be blanketed like this.
Marty, will today's coverage change at all? Meaning, will you still be in a field? The story has shifted. It has changed. And it seems like you should have access to report on something this serious.
No, it's health stuff. No.
Look, man, here's the deal. I said this a moment ago on television as well. This is the 18th year that I have covered this sport. And the vast majority of those years, I was there every single weekend in the garage from Thursday evening until Sunday evening. Now, I have not been as immersed in recent years. I have been certainly since COVID-19, since they came back a month ago from the coronavirus halt. I've been at every race but two. And I have not gotten closer than I am right now. I'm probably 150 yards from the grandstands right now. I have gotten no closer than that. So that gives you an idea. They're working at about one-third of the normal bodies in the garage area. Fans aren't allowed in there. Typically, here at Talladega especially, there would be thousands of fans in there. Motorhomes and fans who are walking the track before the race and all of that. None of those people are in there. It is basically crew guys, people working on the cars and the teams. It is NASCAR officials and executives. It is security, law enforcement, and fire. And it is like people that are there to clean, the cleaning folks. So that's kind of who you're looking at here. And so I haven't had access, Stu. I'm not going to be given access because of COVID-19. And so I'm standing right here 150 yards from the grandstand.
All right, we got to go. We're out of time, but you got to find out why the Masters doesn't have squirrels. You got to find out who did the noose, and wasn't there something else? Wasn't there something else that he was supposed to find out for us? Marty, thank you for making the time.
Yeah, why Cam Newton
like, or why Jerry Richardson's statue came down.
That's
I'm still
right.
working on
yeah.
it.
All right. Get
all
on
right.
it. Get back to us. Yeah. Thank
but
you.
But have your priorities.
Yes, please.
Jemele Hill going to join us in just a second here on the Shell Penzoil Performance Line. Here's your SportsCenter update. Brett Favre thinks Colin Kaepernick will reach a hero status in football similar to that of Pat Tillman, the gunslinger. When asked by a fan if he's coming to Dallas, Jets safety Jamal Adams said, "I'm trying, bro." You're under contract for 2 more years. Then they could franchise you for like 3 years, man. Get used to being on a crappy team. And finally, since the end of the 19th century, when the world saw only 50 white rhinos remaining in the wild, the population of the species has surged 34,000%. Golf is back. Download the DraftKings app and use code Dan. This week, DraftKings is putting you in the action with a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes. That's code Dan, only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for all the details. For all the latest headlines and information, tune in to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
She's a contributing writer for The Atlantic. She's the host of the Jemele Hill is Unbothered podcast through Spotify. Jemele, thank you, as always, for making time for us. My first question is, what the hell? What the hell? Just what the hell? Just what the hell, Jemele? What the hell?
And take your time answering.
Well, you could be referring to a number of things, but I would say this, is that this is certainly an interesting moment that we're in sports. And, you know, as you guys get told as often as I did about sticking to sports, that seems to be pretty much out the window now. And it's just amazing to watch this transition.
Well, tell me what you are in regards to that transition. Is it confused, skeptical, hopeful, distrustful? Like, what? It's a lot to ask. And my guess is the answer to that question is just yes, Dan. Yes, I'm all those things.
Yeah, I am. I am all of those things. I'm hopeful because I hope that people understand that when these moments arrive, and I don't mean the moment we're just in now, because a lot of people that are on board with having these open discussions about race and police brutality and all these other issues, they've had plenty of moments in the past to be the leaders in this conversation. And so it's just amazing to me how 4 years ago, Black Lives Matter, the simple phrase, was basically a cuss word for a lot of people. And suddenly it's being said everywhere. And while I'm happy that people are finally understanding what was always the intention behind the movement, there's a part of me that is, frankly, a little angry at the fact that it took a Black man being killed in the middle of the street for people to understand that this was always a serious issue. It wasn't like we were lying before. It wasn't like there weren't other videotaped incidents that we hadn't seen. We'd seen all of this stuff before. George Floyd was not the first one. He was just the latest one. And so suddenly to see a lot of these brands and corporations that want to be in on a moment that they were gladly ignoring before because it wasn't popular, it's hard not to feel a little upset about that and to not remind them with receipts of what their previous positions were or the fact that they willingly chose to be inactive in this issue.
Jemele, why this one?
Well, unfortunately, Sugat, with the other names that were mentioned and that also met the same fate as George Floyd, there was always a yeah, but. The yeah, but was never credible. The yeah, but was still an indicator that people didn't understand this issue. But nevertheless, it was always something. It was like, you know, yeah, but Eric Garner was doing something illegal. And even though nobody should be killed for loose cigarettes, that was still the yeah, but. This one, what was the yeah, but? You saw somebody who was blatantly murdered in the middle of the street as people watched. And the look on his face was that he could have given less than you know what about George Floyd. He was happy to kill him in that moment. And no matter where you sit on this issue before, even though it shouldn't even have been a debate, you can't watch that and say that George Floyd deserved to die. There's nothing about that you can say. And so finally, I think with the mounting frustration that had always been there, and now with that being something that we were unable to look away from, this became the moment where I think the people who are always in this issue just decided that a line, that this needed to be the moment where we all really had a gut check as a country. And there, the others that were kind of late to it really, unfortunately, had their eyes open, although they should have been open before. And this became the moment where they decided that they wanted to actively participate. The other thing that's changed is that white people are actually joining this conversation, and that wasn't the case before. And that in itself has been really interesting to see, because you really do get that sense of two Americas. Like, what America had you been living in? What had you been taught? What did you know before now? Like, racism didn't just show up with George Floyd. It's been a living, breathing problem in America for hundreds of years. So I guess there's a part of me that is glad that there is now a more diverse participation in this conversation and as we move forward. But another part of me sees that this is the privilege that we've been talking about. The privilege of being ignorant is what I'm talking about.
She is a contributing writer for The Atlantic. She's host of the Jemele Hill is Unbothered podcast for Spotify. You are good with words. You are a writer. You have used the antiseptic word interesting a couple of times, and I don't know what it is that you mean by interesting. So when you watched the ESPYs last night, Jemele Hill is someone who was out in front on this, and I don't know if it cost her job, but certainly she could have gotten more support around here for a longer time, and we'd like to have her on the air right now. It would be a useful thing to have her still at ESPN to lend her voice to this. You watched the ESPYs last night, and you see that pivot, and you see what?
I was flabbergasted, but also, you know, I've been asked this question about how I feel about ESPN's embrace of these issues. And honestly, I'm more happy for, you know, you and other, I mean, Dan, you always speak up on these issues, so this is not necessarily new to you, whether it was embraced or not. But many of my other colleagues who are finally able to voice things that they've always felt and have and be supported, like, I'm happy for somebody like Maria Taylor, who's becoming a real voice in these issues. I'm happy for Elle Duncan and Michael Eve and a lot of my friends who are finally able to speak with a level of freedom that did not exist before. So I'm happy and proud for them, but I'm also disappointed because, again, ESPN had a real opportunity, I think, to be a leader in this conversation, and they were content to let everybody else lead and just wait and read the temperature of the room. And I just wish that, not necessarily because of me or even because of my former co-host at Graham Michael Smith and the type of show we were trying to do, but I just wish that they would have had more courage in the moment where courage was called for. And not just about related to what I said about Donald Trump, but just period. You know, when that whole Stick to Sports narrative started, when the ESPN is too liberal, when that awful narrative started, they sat down and they cowered. And they should have never let people who frankly had an agenda themselves control that conversation. And they did. And they cowered to it. And so it's somewhat hard for me to get over that disappointment. But at the same time, I'm happy that they're clearly running away with this moment. I just hope that it doesn't go backwards. When this is not so convenient, what are they going to do? That's my question, not just for ESPN, but for anybody else who is now willingly engaging in this talk, in these talks and conversation, in this battle, is that it's convenient. Now, what are you going to do when it's not so convenient? Are you going to still have the same level of conviction? Because I don't look at what you say. I look at what you do, and I look at how you respond when there's nothing in it for you. And that, to me, determines the sincerity and genuineness that you have in embracing and supporting various causes and people's right to speak about their experience in this country.
How much distrust do you have that the corporate response throughout America to this and the American response, the shift in public opinion, like, how distrustful are you of all of it?
History teaches me to be distrustful, because whenever there has been significant progress, it is always met with equally significant or if not more significant backlash. It always happens. You know, we can look at politically what has happened, the reaction to Barack Obama being elected president. We're living in the moment of that, of trying to unroll all that progress, and it always happens this way. So my fear is what's coming around the corner. More than anything, though, I hope in this moment that a lot of these companies, ESPN included, it's fine if you want to, you know, talk about what you support and, you know, Black Lives Matter and having the kind of content that ESPN has had over the last few weeks. What the part that needs to be addressed is, what does your organizational chart look like? That is where I will also judge whether or not these companies are serious. You cannot say how much you support Black people when in your own building there's nothing but white people in key decision making roles. You have to be able to marry what we're seeing on the outside to what's happening in your boardroom. If you can't make that connection, you're not serious.
Jamel, always good talking to you. Your voice is necessary. Contributing writer for The Atlantic, host of the Jamel Hill is Unbothered podcast for Spotify. Thank you for making the time, as you always do for us.
I appreciate it. I hope I got you guys in trouble.
You probably did.
Although we do a good enough job of getting ourselves
in trouble. But thank you for that. Thank you. You started so well on the front end with, I'm happy for these people, and I'm happy. And then, you know, got a little more dangerous.
I live to get you in trouble. That's what I do.
Well, Jamel, none of this stuff works unless there's discomfort. Like, none of it.
Right.
This stuff doesn't work comfortably.
I agree. Well, thank you, guys. Always a pleasure.
Thank you, Jamel. She really did.
The horse may have left the barn.
She threw a Molotov cocktail at us and laughed at the end as she left. I mean, look, man, it's long overdue.
Awkward transition.
Here's your SportsCenter update. Brett Favre thinks Colin Kaepernick will reach a hero status in football similar to that of Pat Tillman. When asked by a fan if he's coming to Dallas, Jet safety Jamal Adams said, I'm trying, bro. And finally, the guitar Kurt Cobain played on Nirvana's 1993 MTV Unplugged performance months before his death sold for an eye-popping $6 million at auction. The 1959 Martin D18E that Cobain played in the band's rare acoustic performance and subsequent live album was sold to Australian Peter Friedman, owner of Rode Microphones, at the Music Icons event run by Julian's Auctions in Beverly Hills, California. The bids opened at $1 million for the sale that ended up breaking several world records. Want to breathe better, sleep deeper, snore less, feel healthier? Then take my advice and try Navage. I use it every day to clean my nose and sinuses and absolutely love it. Swear by it. Go to Navage.com, that's NAVAGE.com, or visit your local Walgreens, CVS, Rite Aid, Bed Bath & Beyond, or Target. For all the latest headlines and information, tune in to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
We got to get to Ja Rule before we get out of here, but first, here are Stu Gatz's weekend observations.
It is time for Stu Gatz to share his game notes. No one in the media will tell you what happened better than my boy Stu.
Weekend observations brought to you by Advance Auto Parts. Get a free battery test and free installation with any automotive battery purchase only at Advance Auto Parts. Advance your auto at Advance Auto Parts. Dan, apparently, with one Christian Pulisic goal that I'm pretty certain he scored in a game that had nothing to do with the United States, but we digress, because Dan, with that goal, U.S. men's soccer
really
is back.
Really?
Quick question. Can something be back if it was never here to begin with? Just something to ponder. Was it just me, or did anyone else have no idea the Belmont Stakes was taking place over the weekend? It's good to know there is somewhere else on the planet that they are racing horses other than Hallandale Beach, Florida.
Gulfstream, baby.
Yep. I feel like the only two people on the planet who weren't participating in the race and still knew they were running the Belmont were Chris Felica and Hank Goldberg, the Bear and the Hammer. Christian Pulisic, do it in the World Cup. Seriously.
Okay.
Enough. He's surrounded by good players. It helps when you're surrounded by good, but do it when you're surrounded by bad players, because other than you, that's all we have here.
That's not how you pronounce his name.
How do you pronounce it?
I mean, that's like the one that you don't pronounce it like. You can do Pulisic or Pulisic.
Well, whatever. Do it in the World Cup. I'll pronounce it right. Those little iguana lizards we have all over Florida, they get scoot.
Yep.
That's crazy.
They can, yeah.
The Washington Pro Football Team announced they will retire the number of Bobby Mitchell, Washington's first black player. They also announced this is something they've been planning to do for a while now. By a while now, they mean roughly a week ago. Amazing how quickly the retiring of Bobby Mitchell's number moved up Daniel Snyder's to-do list. They will also rename the lower level after Mitchell and remove the name of former Washington Pro Football Team owner George Preston Marshall. Marshall was forced to integrate the team. Daniel Snyder, do me a favor. Get back to me when you remove the actual name of your team. Thanks. The Rocky statue has to be safe, right? It has to be.
Yes.
Report. The NFL is highly optimistic about the season, even as COVID cases spike. Of course they are. Wait a second. Rocky beat Apollo and Clubber Lang. All this led to a chain of events that eventually led to the death of Apollo. And if that wasn't enough, he trained Tommy Gunn, who beat Union Kane. Jesus.
Tear it
the
down.
The Rocky statue.
Tear it down.
He's coming down.
Tear it down.
Wait. But then he trained Apollo's kid.
Oh, that's right.
And helped him win the title.
That's right.
I think we're okay.
Okay.
Dan.
Don't tear it down. Everybody.
Rocky.
Everybody calm down.
Is back. Dan, you know what else Rocky did? He brought it full circle.
Okay. Way to go.
That. Hey, baseball. Two words. Don't care. Richard Drysdale with friends like you who needs a corner man. I'm not certain there is anyone who sounds and looks more like golf than Webb Simpson. Dan, you know what Dak can do now? Make it rain. Hey, Richard Drysdale. No means no. Congratulations to the Houston Rockets, who 25 years ago won their second title that doesn't count in my personal record book. Death, taxes, and Ed Werder, 9:15 on Golic and Wingo, the day after some Cowboys news. He was there today.
I mean, yeah,
he was there.
Boom,
Ed was there.
He popped out of the ground. He popped out. He didn't even go. He's not coming from home. He's just got something that catapults him from wherever it is that he is to stand like a statue outside the Cowboys facility. He didn't work for us for a while, and it was still happening.
Yep.
There was a couple of years there where he wasn't working for us.
You're right. In Richard Drysdale's world, it takes saying no 10 times for it to mean yes. Father's Day text. It's a real catch 22. I received 5 texts from people wishing me a happy Father's Day, and I wasn't sure if they had kids and if I should wish them a happy Father's Day in return. A real Sophie's choice.
Oh, good God.
What happened there?
What year was Sophie's choice? What year?
I don't know, but Meryl Streep is overrated. How about that? You agree? Seems like you do.
I do not.
But you agree it's a real Sophie's choice, this whole thing.
I don't. I'd like to know what year Sophie's choice was.
I don't have that information.
It was either that or going King Solomon, Dan.
Dak Prescott. I mean, in this economic environment, who wouldn't sign something worth $31.5 million? Michelle Wee is a mom. Stray golf balls have become like the plague. like the crack cocaine of golf balls. I'm talking like Pro Vs are now like live grenades. Before, when you found one, it felt like you were in heaven. Now, during a pandemic, it feels like you're approaching hell. Speaking of hell, Art Briles, Dan, those are the weekend observations.
I have lost Billy Gill for about the last hour of the show, I believe, because I think he is watching that Ja Rule commercial for a Greek restaurant. Ja Rule and 50 Cent, who promised to be better to people, is now going after Ja Rule. You see what happens to you when you beef with me, says 50 Cent. You end up being somebody who gets paid in Ziploc bags filled of lamb meat. So what is happening here, Guillermo, with Ja Rule?
So Ja Rule, Dan, the internet is abuzz. I don't know if you've heard about this. Ja Rule was in a local commercial for a gyro restaurant, I think. I'm not exactly sure, but this is the way things work, just so that you know. In order to air that on the show, I have to get that cleared. And in order to get that cleared, I have to kind of dig and find the source of where that came from. And I found out that it seems to be part of some TBS either show or like collection of shows. So TBS is behind this, so I'm not entirely sure how legitimate this is. Regardless, it's been sent to clearance, so maybe one day we'll be able to play it on the show.
Okay, but the video is real. That's a video that Ja Rule made. I don't know whether the sound is going to get cleared or not, but it is a ridiculous video that he made, which suggests sort of bottoming out. If you thought Fyre Festival was the worst that Ja Rule can do, I'm here to show you this commercial.
And he's having difficulty pronouncing the names of a lot of the dishes that he's promoting. He's dancing around at some point. He doesn't seem to be wearing shoes. I think he's just in socks. It's pretty ridiculous. It's pretty ridiculous. I hope it's a real restaurant, but I'm not entirely sure if it is.
Okay, very good. Regardless, the internet is abuzz.